You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Safe to say that we are constantly trying to figure out what the outlook is. And Tim, we've been excited about getting into earnings. We've heard from the big banks and a few others. But talking to those CEOs, hearing what they have to say about the outlook.
That's the big question. And look, we're going to hear from a lot of companies. And I think people who are listening to these earnings calls, investors and analysts, they're going to be parsing commentary for not just for the numbers that we hear, but also for sentiment and the way that these executives feel about the coming year and the current quarter.
I'm guessing our next guest hears a lot about sentiment. He is the founder and CEO of Edelman, the global communications giant. Richard Edelman, back with us on the phone in New York City. Richard, Happy New Year. Nice to have you here with Tim and myself. How are you?
I'm great and very excited to talk about this trust barometer.
Well, we're excited to have you on to talk about it. And we want to get into it and the specific findings. I just want to know, I'm curious, your team, you talk to a lot of CEOs. Before we get into the survey, what are you hearing? What's the sentiment? Is there some major theme or takeaway from some of the conversations you're having?
I think that they feel quite optimistic about this year. Yes, of course, there's inflation. Yes, of course, there's going to be higher rates. But there's a lot of underlying demand. People have cash, and they want to spend it. So I think optimism is the word. Cautious, but optimistic.
You know, we get to speak with you regularly, and we get updates to the trust barometer. And I think back to just hearing from you about a year ago. And I'm wondering, Richard, what the biggest difference between the findings this year versus last year? What really stuck out to you as the big difference?
Well, when 60% of our respondents say that their first reaction to any information is to distrust it,
wow,
and two-thirds say that they can't have a civil conversation anymore about issues, that's a problem. And it says basically that media and government are in a death grip, and it's division and disinformation and politicization, and therefore business has to step into the void. It's the stabilizing force.
It's fascinating, though, because as we went through things right over the last couple of years, business hasn't always been forefront, though, right? Or at the forefront, or other times of. It's interesting how people move around. What is it that seems to, you know, impact people the most when it comes to who they trust?
I think actually, in the moment, it's about competence. And you'll remember, Carol, that when we talked in the height of the pandemic, it was government, the most trusted institution, and government has disappointed. And there's a deep sense of, well, on societal issues, we found that people want more business, 5-to-1 on sustainability and wages and race. We want more business. And we didn't expect that. And we also didn't expect that two-thirds of employees say, look, I want to work for a company whose values are equal or equivalent to mine. And two-thirds of consumers are belief-driven buyers. And 88% of institutional investors make ESG at the same level as operations and financials when they buy a stock. That's a huge shift in a year.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. And I had a conversation that's actually part of a Bloomberg event that's happening tomorrow. And this was with the CEO of AB InBev, but about their sustainability initiatives. And they are, you know, using marketing campaigns that actually pull in the consumers who want, in this case, more organic beer. And, you know, you buy a six pack and then they have, I think it was 6 acres or something, where that it basically, you know, they're going to help fund with farmers, turn that over to organic farming. In other words, they're pulling consumers in to say, you want this? We need your help to do it. But it does feel like there's something changing even more so that relationship between consumer and business.
Well, I think that in the moment, demand is also for CEOs to stand up and speak up, that 80% of our respondents said that they expect CEOs to lead and be visible. And this is actually a big change that CEOs, you know, last year we talked about, standing up for the election results, and now it's on Glasgow and COP26. And so, again, it's a big new demand on CEOs. I would only warn CEOs, don't overreach. Focus on policy and not politics, because we saw for the first time Democrats trust business more than Republicans. Republican trust dropped 12 points. So it's both Democrats for the first time.
Wow. All right. Yeah, right? That's pretty significant. So, you know, Richard, you guys do this sometimes, I think several times a year. And if there's a special situation, which certainly throughout the pandemic, you tapped into your trust barometer to really get a feel of how people were feeling, where they were finding trust. How do you use this in terms of talking with the CEOs that you guys work with and kind of getting an idea of where this economy is going, what the market environment's going to be like? How do you use it? How do you, you know, use it forward, if you will?
Well, I think we try to persuade companies, for example, after the murder of George Floyd, we went right into the field and did a study of all parts of American population. And we found that companies that stood up and spoke up and brands that made diverse populations important got a 7 times bump in trust. And so we said, you know, for instance, you know, KFC, and give them huge credit for creating a fund so that if you're a black store manager, you could get equity from the company and then be able to buy a franchise. That was a $100 million fund. That's a big deal. That changes the game. The point is, get companies to act because communications is just not enough. It's seen as greenwashing or anything else, and we can do better.
I'm wondering what you learned about capitalism in this survey. I'm going through the trust barometer, and I went through it earlier in the day today, and it really hit me that more than half of the people you surveyed said that capitalism as it exists today does more harm than good in the world.
So what concerns me is this growing divide between the top 25% of income who trust institutions a lot, like 65%, and the people in the lowest 25% of income who don't trust institutions, like 40%. And the differences used to only be in the U.S., France, and U.K. And now it's in Thailand and Saudi Arabia and Germany and Canada. And the reason is that people are afraid for their jobs. 85% of people told us that they are afraid of losing their job either to automation or the pandemic. They're also afraid of downward economic mobility. Carol, can you believe that only 4 in 10 people in the democracies tell us that they believe their families are going to be better off in 5 years?
That's something
and
that
meanwhile,
jumped out.
The autocracies, you know, the Chinas and et cetera, people are 80% that they're going to be better off in 5 years. So we've got to show that the system works for everybody.
Well, Richard, and that's what's interesting, too. And, you know, in this report, you also get into China-U.S. trust divergence, widening to an all-time high. I think about this a lot because these are your two giant economies. What they do, whether it's, you know, on central bank policy, whether it's what they do, you know, in terms of trade relations. I mean, whatever they do, you feel it, the ripple effects throughout the globe. How volatile can this metric be, or have you seen a trend line in this one?
Well, I think the United States trust over the last 10 years has declined, and it's particularly declined among Republicans. Democrats are at 55. Republicans are at 33, the lowest we've ever seen. And so in China, people believe that the government's done a good job in the pandemic, and they also see, again, that the economy is growing. And this trust number is deeply dependent on fairness and also upward economic mobility. And so we've got to show that the circular system works for all. And we've seen big asset value increases, right? Your listeners are all, markets are up, real estate's up, like this. But a lot of the bottom 25% have none of that. And they're looking at worse health outcomes and no more government subsidy because, you know, that's done. And they're nervous.
You know, it's
nervous about losing their jobs.
It's interesting because Tim and I kicked off this show, Richard, you know, saying about when it comes to COVID, you know, in terms of deaths, the U.S. is doing the worst. Here we are, this developed rich nation, and we're having a tough time. What I wonder, too, though, about this China-U.S. division, I mean, in some ways, not apples to apples, but President Xi understands this idea and is really looking to do something when it comes to a shared prosperity, right? That's what they call it. But many would argue he's not wrong about that.
Look, what we have right now is a recession of trust for the democracies. Mm-hmm. And the autocracies are doing better on delivering. Now, I'm not in favor of a system like that, but we have to show that democracies actually can function and that politics can actually turn out good results. And we fought too much about the infrastructure bill. That was the obvious one to improve competitiveness. Right. And we have to also get the media to go back to authority. Bloomberg understands that, but you know, we can't be politicizing stories and making it, you know, newstainment.
Well, and that's the other part of it, right, Tim? I don't know how you felt about it, going through the research and the findings. Media, I mean, we are...
It hurts.
It does hurt.
It really hurts. Look, I want to tap you for some advice, Richard. You know, what's your advice to people like Carol and me who are in positions like this?
Well, I think that media has to get back to having the role of authority as opposed to chasing clicks. And it's not a popularity game. It's, you know, telling us the truth so that we can act on it. And it's a vital part of the puzzle to solve for trust. Hmm. If people get quality information, and it's not just going to be through the media. There are not enough reporters anymore. Half of the reporters are gone in local newspapers, et cetera. So we have to have government, business, and NGOs add to the puzzle so that especially in mm-hmm. social channels where there's disinformation, whether it's about, like, for example, on vaccination, so much disinformation on social.
Right,
and
right.
So if you're a company, and this is important, Carol, the most trusted institution is my employer. And my employer's CEO is the most trusted spokesperson, 75%. So let's use that and also use the company's health officer to right. talk about what should be done with going back to office or right. vaccination or anything else.
They've definitely stepped up in terms of priority. Richard Edelman, thank you so much. Be well. CEO at Edelman on the phone in New York City.